What's the real unemployment rate?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. In a few hours, we'll get the October Employment Report. That's going to tell us how many jobs got created or eliminated last month, and it'll give us the unemployment rate. That's expected to be near 10%. But Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joins us live to look a little deeper. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Bill.
So there's some question about whether the official unemployment rate is what we should be focusing on. Why is that?
Well, the problem is the unemployment rate that we talk about so much every month, it's 9.8% as of September, only counts people who are actively looking, meaning they sent out a resume, they made cold calls, or hit the pavement in the past month. And here's who that doesn't include: people who are available for work, want and need a job, but have stopped looking for the moment. Maybe they're discouraged by lousy job prospects, or there's nothing that they're trained to do anywhere near where they live.
And what else should we be thinking about when it comes to the real unemployment?
Well, there's one more really important category economists want to look at: involuntary part-timers. Heidi Shierholz of the Economic Policy Institute explained it to me this way.
They're workers who want a full-time job. They're available for full-time work, but they can't get the hours, so they've had to settle for part-time work. Employers, when they want to cut labor costs, are not just cutting whole people, they're also cutting back the hours of their existing workforce.
And the thing is, it's these workers who are going to be hired up to full-time first before people who have no job at all even get a chance. And when you add them in, that unemployment rate gets almost to 17%.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joining us live. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So investors are awaiting that report this morning. Now let's do the numbers. European stocks are mixed this morning. Royal Bank of Scotland said it lost $3 billion last quarter. Asian markets rang up big gains today following yesterday's Wall Street party. We had some good news on jobless claims and chain store sales, and the Dow jumped 203 points. Finance ministers from the Group of 20 Nations are meeting in Scotland today to review the state of the global economy. Marketplace's Stephen Beard tells us they are worried about a new threat from an old enemy.
The trillions of dollars pumped into the global economy seem to have staved off a second Great Depression. But now G20 finance ministers are fretting about another problem, the danger of asset bubbles. All the cash sloshing around the system has fueled a surge in the price of financial assets. Stock values worldwide have doubled since March. Gold has hit a record high. In Britain, which is still officially in recession, house prices are rising. Graham Mather is with the European Policy Forum. He says G20 finance ministers are keenly aware it was asset bubbles that got us into this mess.
Last time they missed that happening. This time they are determined not to let that go past without taking action.
But there are still serious doubts whether bubbles can be correctly identified and deflated without pushing economies back into a slump. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
You know that when taxpayers bailed out the financial system last year, the government injected a lot of money into the banks. What you might have missed was the amount of guarantees the government was giving financial institutions, insuring bank debt, backstopping money market funds, guarantees that were more valuable and more risky than Congress ever intended. That's the conclusion of a new report out this morning from the Congressional Oversight Panel that's still monitoring the bailouts. Harvard Law Professor Elizabeth Warren chairs the panel, and she joins us now. Good morning.
Hi, I'm glad to do it, Bill.
Why was our government so, what's the word, Professor, vague, secretive?
Well, I think the way to see it is they announced the guarantees and the dollar amounts behind them were not part of the headline.
And you could argue, Professor, those guarantees ended up working pretty well.
Absolutely. The guarantees calmed the markets, and at least so far, they may actually turn a modest profit for the taxpayers.
So what's the problem now?
Well, the problem is they came with enormous risk, but the real effect of them is that the guarantees distort the marketplace. And this is the heart of where what we call moral hazard exists.
Tell us more about that. Why is this a moral hazard?
Well, think of it this way. If we have two financial institutions, one is regarded as too big to fail and it gets an implicit guarantee from the government, and the other one doesn't, then the one with the guarantee has a business model, or can have a business model, that says, if you'll let me draw it in the extreme, give me your money, investors. I'm going to go to Las Vegas, bet it all on Red 22, and if it comes up Red 22, man, we're all rich. And if it doesn't come up Red 22, hey, the taxpayers will pay you back the amount you invested.
How much taxpayer money is the government still gambling?
Well, the big one is on Citibank. We guaranteed more than $300 billion of outstanding value in their assets. And it's still there. That is our single biggest guarantee.
And how transparent is the government being about that?
Yeah, we think we need a lot more transparency. And in particular, we think we need more transparency in the Citi transaction so we know whether or not our risk is really only small or if our risk is really quite substantial.
Harvard Law Professor Elizabeth Warren chairs the Congressional Oversight Panel. She's out with her latest report this morning. Professor, thanks.
Oh, thank you.
And finally, the National Toy Hall of Fame chose its newest inductees yesterday. They are Nintendo's Game Boy, the old Mark's Big Wheel, and the ball. Not any company's ball, just the round thing. Apparently, the original patent on the ball expired in 2 million BC, and the market got flooded with generics. This is Marketplace Morning Report. Join us online for videos about the economics of your workplace. It's our Department of Behavioral Economics. It's at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.